No matter what your time of need calls for, Brighton's lawyers are here for you. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on 1170 SEN.
It is Vossie and James Magnusson, the missile, on this Friday morning ahead of another humongous weekend in sport of Test cricket and World Cup football. Obviously, the headlines, and to a big story in a moment that we sort of thought would close yesterday, but I'll talk about that in a moment. Welcome to everyone listening on this Friday through the SEN network, 1170 AM here in Sydney, on the Central Coast, 801 AM in the Illawarra, 1575 AM, Griffith, 90.3 FM, 3023 AM in Canberra, 1323 AM. Always great to have their company. Our Queensland listeners for the first hour at the very least, 693 AM in Brisbane, 1620 AM on the Gold Coast. How are you going? What's it like up there this morning? The SEN Track Network through Queensland. Wherever you're listening on the SEN app, the app is a must-have at the moment with so much sport on SEN. And hello to those listening belatedly via the podcast. Don't forget, if you can't tune in live, you can listen via our podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you get the app, you've got the little, all the different things down in the menu, down the bottom. You can catch up on everything, including an interview that Jimmy Smith did yesterday, which we now need to talk about. It's a big show today. Trevor Bayliss coming online, the Sydney Thunder coach, very experienced man. Sydney Kings star DJ Vasilovic. What about the Kings last night? That's a great win over the Breakers in New Zealand, 88-81, cementing their place at the top of the table. Michelle Bishop with sports updates as well. But we have to start something. James Magnusson, I'm talking to everyone right now. You know what you... You know how we sort of said yesterday that the Dave Warner situation, that was the end of it. But you know how at a concert sometimes, like the band will come out, they always come out for one encore, and then you say bye, and you that's it, and the house lights are coming on, but then the curtains open, and the band comes back on for a second encore. Well, that's what's going to happen today with Dave Warner.
I knew it, Vossie. When I heard this interview yesterday, I gave a big sigh and thought, we're going to be talking Dave Warner again.
Yeah. But I don't think we're talking in the context to defend ourselves and our position where we said we're not going to talk about Dave Warner and captaincy. Well, we're not. It really has nothing to do with the quashing of the lifetime ban on the captaincy. It's to do with James Erskine on this very station yesterday with Jimmy Smith, cracking get by Jimmy, the bombshell allegations plastered across all of the papers this morning, quoting the interview on SEN, Cricket Australia officials told the team to tamper with the ball. Now, so to me, this is separate issue. This is new evidence in regards the incident of Sandpapergate. So that's the story that we're exploring today. Two players at the time suggested the whole team should come clean as they can't fire all of us. Let's have a listen, first of all, to set it up. James Erskine on SEN yesterday.
You'd have to be a blind black Labrador to not realise there was far more than three people involved in this thing. David Warner was, you know, completely villainised. And he has shut up. He's protected Cricket Australia. He's protected his fellow players and whatever it might be, because at the end of the day, no one wanted to hear any more of it. And he's got on playing cricket. When the truth comes out, everyone's going to turn around and say, well, why was David Warner picked upon? The truth will come out. Yeah, there's two cricketers who said at the time, put their hands up, said, why don't we all just tell the truth? They can't fire all of us. Yeah. Two senior executives, you know, were in the changing room in Hobart and were berating the team for losing against South Africa. And Warner said that we've got to reverse swing the ball. And the only way we can reverse swing the ball is by tampering with it. So they were told to do it.
Oof. They were told to do it, to senior executives. Now, first of all, James in that first part, James Erskine, said that no one wanted to hear about it. Beg your pardon? We all wanted to hear about it. We all wanted the truth. Everyone wanted to know the full story. How can James say that? See, I'm very critical of James Erskine here. Now, I'm going to contradict myself. A manager has to look after his player, his client, obviously. But to now come and say this, I thought yesterday or Dave Warner from his comments from the previous day, we'd basically put line in the sand and we were finally going to move on until a book somewhere down the track. Is that what you thought? And now I think it's the fire is raging as much as at any time right now as a result. We were all moving on, and then James Erskine, who speaks on Dave Warner's behalf, has now lit an absolute bushfire.
Yep. I don't think that was accidental, Vossi. I don't think that he would have come out of that going, oops, I mentioned two cricket executives. That would have been planned, calculated. The thing I don't understand from Warner's perspective, if he's going to get hammered this bad and he's seeing himself as the fall guy and he's willing to take that fall, then why half release something at this point? Either go the full bang, clear your name and out the people, the executives, maybe the other players, or pull right back and say, no, I'm not saying anything. He's gone halfway, hasn't he?
Well, how does Dave Warner... Okay, now this is why I'm critical of James Erskine. Now, and again, it's a little contradictory, but a manager has to look after his client. But in the bigger picture here, how is he looking after his client here? How does this, that interview with Jimmy, and again, cracking stuff from Jimmy to get this, how does it help Dave Warner? We are reopening the lines today on Dave Warner on the sandpaper gate, I guess. But I'll make a prediction. The text line today is going to be negative towards Dave Warner than the issue. So how has James Erskine helped his client?
Yeah, he hasn't. He hasn't.
And as for the... So you're telling me... I just find it... See, I don't believe that. Like when his opening line about you'd have to be, what was it, the three-person and a blind black Labrador. Well, no, I don't. I haven't played cricket at elite level. Nowhere near it. I don't know what it's like in the inner sanctum. No, I thought it entirely plausible that just a few players were in on it rather than an entire team. And now you're telling me two senior executives. What? That doesn't make any sense. Two senior executives telling the team you have to cheat. Really? Mm. See, I don't find that believable.
No.
I don't.
I don't think a senior executive would say to the players, you need to get sandpaper and scratch the ball. Would they have said, do whatever it takes? Even that, it seems a stretch, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
seems
does.
A stretch.
So, because, okay, the cricket team itself, James, I'm leaning on you because you are elite sportsman. So you had your job, win, compete, your best, all of that. I can't put myself in those shoes. But there's a team. Here is cricket. There's a team. And there was a coach. But surely no one else has input into the actual day-to-day performance of the team. I can't believe that. If you're telling me two senior executives, what are you saying? The CEO? Who else? Like, what, the vice president, the chairman? Like, who? Mm. Who are we talking about?
Yeah.
I reckon that's BS. Yeah. I absolutely reckon that's BS.
Yeah.
I'm calling it.
The only mouthpiece generally between an athlete and the executives is the head coach.
Yeah.
The executives will talk to the head coach. They'll very rarely mingle or talk with the athletes directly because there's no real correlation. They're dealing with sponsorships, corporates, all that stuff. They're not dealing with performance. That's not their speciality. They're not employed on the board of Cricket Australia to improve players' performance or reverse swing the cricket ball. Mm. That's not their expertise.
No. I go back to the very incident, James, and was watching live when it happened. And the reaction of Darren Lehman, do you remember his look on his face? That wasn't acting.
Mm.
That was genuine, and I'll put it this way, WTF is going on here.
Yeah.
If he's acting, he's a bloody good one. He's Russell Crowe. Because I got the impression watching it live, Darren Lehman had no idea what was going on the field.
Yeah.
So I would say, and we asked the listeners, 1300 01 1170, or on the text 0457736, you're trying to put together join the dots on this one. Darren Lehman, to me, wasn't one of those dots. He's not, it didn't look to me like he had any idea about what was going on. So based on what I saw, and listeners may feel differently. I don't think he's one of the two senior executives that suggested that, but in what team meeting would the coach not be present?
Yeah.
So, you know...
The only dots that were never joined for me that seemed obvious was, are you telling me the bowlers, the wicketkeeper, the other people in the field weren't looking at that ball going, geez, this is copping a hammering?
That's right.
This is that they every single player would have to have known. And did one or two of them speak out against it? We don't know. But the executives thing seems a long bow to draw for me. But the every player and a player standing up and saying, let's go down together, they can't sack us all. That sounds completely believable. The second part sounds quite far-fetched.
Yeah, the two players at the time suggested the whole team should come clean as they can't fire all of us.
Yeah.
So, we open the lines right now, and you can come at us and come at the topic from any angle. You decide the narrative on this one, but we are re-exploring Sandpapergate now. Our intrigue has been more than poked after the interview yesterday. What do you believe? What do you really think happened? What is your perception, having listened to James Erskine? We'll play the grab again, and you can have a listen to it, and then come at us with what is your conclusion and what's your perception. If they may be two different things. But here was James Erskine with Jimmy Smith on SEN yesterday.
You'd have to be a blind black Labrador to not realise there was far more than three people involved in this thing. David Warner was, you know, completely villainised. And he has shut up. He's protected Cricket Australia. He's protected his fellow players and whatever it might be. Because at the end of the day, no one wanted to hear any more of it. And he's got on playing cricket. When the truth comes out, everyone's going to turn around and say, well, why was David Warner picked upon? The truth will come out. Yeah, there's two cricketers who said at the time, put their hands up, said, why don't we all just tell the truth? They can't fire all of us. Yeah. Two senior executives, you know, were in the changing room in Hobart and were berating the team for losing against South Africa. And Warner said that we've got to reverse swing the ball. And the only way we can reverse swing the ball is by tampering with it. So they were told to do it.
It gets better. Each time you listen to it, it gets better.
It does, because then you want to break it down further. So, you know, two players stood up and senior players suggested the whole team should come clean as they can't fire all of us. Well, why didn't Dave Warner come clean?
Yeah.
Well, why not? Like, well, why not? He already got banned. He's been banned for life as a leader. Why not come clean then? But anyway, have your say right now. Zero. We promised you, but it is a little different. It's a little different to where we were going yesterday. 0457 736 736. Fascinated, absolutely fascinated to hear the listener, the barometer of where we're going to land on this one, reacting to the interview on Jimmy Smith's program yesterday on SEN. There was cricket played yesterday, and Dave Warner got out for 21. Steve Smith got out for a duck. And Marnus Labuschagne and Travis Head put on 199 unbeaten. Labuschagne 120 not out. Travis Head, the mayor of Adelaide, I think Steve Smith referred to him as, 114 not out. 3 for 330. Run rate 3.70. You could have heard it all on SEN yesterday. In fact, these were the two big milestone moments, as called by Jared Waitley. So Jared Waitley scored a couple of hundreds yesterday. He was in the commentary chair when Labuschagne and Head reached their tons.
Joseph Bowles, Head drives straight through the field. He'll go for four. What a proud moment in South Australian sporting history this is. The state captain with a test century on Adelaide Oval. Travis Head, the moment is yours. And it's shared by a proud state. First time in 27 years that it's happened. Thomas Bowles to Labuschagne, who punches hard to deep point. It'll go all the way. Labuschagne is reprising the summer of Marnus. Three consecutive centuries. And that's his fourth against the pink ball. He is the preeminent player in day-night test cricket.
He was up and about, Big G Waits. Don't tell me this test doesn't matter to him.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That's it. He was... he would have gone out to the nude cinema last night if he had a chance. He had a great call, one of the best broadcasters, if not the best broadcaster in the country. And a day that he will remember yesterday, because that's a huge partnership. Where will it end today? Look, we're back on air with the cricket from 1 o'clock this afternoon, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Cricket Australia CEO Nick Hockley, Australian Cricketers Association CEO Todd Greenberg, special guests during today's coverage.
That's big.
Yeah, exactly. It's more than just the cricket. But you can get the ball rolling this morning right now on The Breakfast Show, have your say on all that has come to light over the last 24 hours via the SEN network. Now, we mentioned the Kings. Great win, Kings over the Breakers last night. Sadly, Illawarra Hawks pumped, absolutely pumped by 39 points. So the streak ended at one. Southeast Melbourne winning 111 to 72. It's the largest win by any club this season. In NRL, Corey Allen departing your Bulldogs, Missile, and a one-year deal with the Roosters. So Corey Allen.
Off to the Roosters. I can see it already. Vossi, we're clearing the decks for Stephen Crichton. You heard it here first.
Okay. All right, Stu Crichton, clear the decks. And then when it comes to the FIFA World Cup and our updates, thanks to Kraken, trusted by 9 million crypto customers worldwide, kraken.com, we do have to play something out of the World Cup, which isn't to do with football on the field. Extraordinary comments overnight from the CEO of the Qatar World Cup, Nasser Al-Khattar. He made these comments after being asked about the death of a Filipino migrant worker who fell to his death while carrying out repairs at a resort used as a training base by the Saudi Arabian team. Have a listen to his response.
We're in the middle of a World Cup, and we have a successful World Cup, and this is something that you want to talk about right now. I mean, death is a natural part of life, whether it's at work, whether it's in your sleep. Of course, a worker died. Our condolences go to his family. However, you know, I mean, it's strange that this is something that you wanted to focus on as your first question.
Strange. Sorry.
Well, sorry. Look, if I have to pick between dying at work and dying in my sleep, can I please take sleep?
Yeah. Can we just play that a little bit? I mean, it's a bit like Alan Border. Well, that's the way of the world these days. Let's have a listen again to what Mr. Khattar just said there, just that important bit.
Death is a natural part of life, whether it's at work, whether it's in your sleep, of course.
Fair enough. Or by execution, of course. It's just a natural part of life. If you're homosexual, of course, you know, it's just a natural part of life. I mean, wow. Wow. I mean, I don't know Nasser Al-Khattar, you know, and he might be listening on the app right now and will have me killed in a drive-by. But I think, mate, if you're an official, you are the CEO of the Qatar World Cup, you've got to come to the table a little better prepared than that. Then death is a natural part of life as your defence. If we have a Dribbler of the Day award, you might have just knocked old mate Gianni. off the top. Death is a natural part of life. That's the defence. Wow.
Gianni and Nasser make quite the team, don't they?
It's no laughing matter at all. Actually, yeah. It's just gobsmacking. Gobsmacking.
Yep.
There we go. And apologies to Kraken, our sponsor. That is the World Cup update right at the moment, because we'll talk more about the quarterfinals later, and Missiles Multi will be hugely sought by our listeners. Kraken, safely buy, sell and trade over 185 cryptocurrencies with Aussie dollars, kraken.com. I think we better take a break and let you all off the leash on what was on air yesterday. James Erskine, the manager of Dave Warner, what's your conclusions out of all of this? What's your perception? What more do you want to know? Go to the phones right now. Have your say. 1300 01 1170. Breakfast with Vossi and the Missile, James Magnusson, right here on 1170 AM in Sydney and the SEN network. Vossi and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.